Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's just 16 minutes past the hour of 11. It is the third hour of this program, mashallah. Initially, we intended to finish up by 11 o'clock, but you know, Allah always plans, and there's always a plan greater than your plan. And so we are going into the third hour of the program. And in this hour, we will be doing the debate challenge. And inshallah, Marana Yusuf Umar will also give you the rundown of how it's going to work. The procedure has been explained by Mana Suhaib, but the nitty-gritty Mana Yusuf will tell you, inshallah. And also, we will be asking our judges to give their summation at the end of the debate, and we will be announcing the winner. We are coming to you live this morning from Kelvin, and more specifically from Abdullah bin Salam Islamic Center, and they are the host for today's program. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them. Just to remind the participants, as well as those people who are listening to us in the close by regions, that the Nizam Hour team will be here between 2 and 4 this afternoon, and they will be doing a live program from these very same premises. And so you can also join them, and you can come on air and sing, inshallah, and participate on the program. Now, Yusuf, are we ready to start with the final round?
Yes, we are. It is the debate, and of course, we moving on. I told you, first we start through scaling these speech contests now. Grade 11 learners, 10 learners, so it's much more intense, much more exciting as well. Now, just to put you into perspective, it might seem a bit confusing now, looking at now 6 contestants, 3 from each school, and what's all this going to be about? It's very simple. We have a topic: are we pressured by fashion, and if so, why? So, you know, you have your Louis Vuittons and everything else. Are we pressured by these brands? Are we pressured to keep up with the times? This is basically the debate. Now, one team, it's the Abdullah bin Abbas Islamic Center. They're going to be
Abdullah bin Salam.
Abdullah bin Salam Islamic Center. They're going to be speaking against it. Azharul Muslim School are in favor of it. We're saying that yes, they are pressured. So you have 3 contestants. Each one is going to have a turn to speak. The introduction, body, conclusion. So member 1, introduction. Member 2, body. Member 3, conclusion. Once they do that, they're going to be asked 3 questions. So each team will be asked 3 questions. One question will come from the presenters, one question will come from the judges, and one question will come from the opposing team. And just on that note for the contestants, remember, no learner can answer more than one question. So if learner 1 answers a presenter's question, then learner 2 has to answer the judge's question, and of course, learner 3 will have to answer the opposing team's question. Marana, anything to add to that quickly?
Yes, revelation has stopped, and Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam no longer comes down, and so they will have to bank on their own team members, and revelation will not be accepted from anywhere else.
And they will also be given 3 minutes for each participant. For that 3 minutes, after when the question is posed to them, Marana Yusuf, they will have time to consult one another. They will be given 1 minute consult one another to answer the question.
Okay, so Mala Yusuf, you can inshallah start the procedure.
Right, one more thing before that, I just discussed it with the judges. Sometimes you feel more comfortable standing up. Some people, they can express themselves better standing up or facing a crowd. So it's up to you. When it's your turn to speak, if you feel you want to stand up, then no problem. Feel free to do that. We're going to start with the team that's in favor, and that is Azharul Muslim School. The contestants, or rather the participants, we have Yusuf Lorgat, Faisal Iqbal Namutamba, and Zubair Hassam. Those are the 3 contestants. They are representing Azharul Muslim School, and they are in favor. Are we pressured by fashion? They saying yes. They are saying yes. And we're going to go with them. They're in favor. So they can start. You will start. Remember, it's 3 minutes introduction, or maximum 3 minutes introduction, 3 minutes body, and 3 minutes conclusion.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My name is Yusuf Lorgat, and in my team is Zubair Hassam and Faisal Namutamba. We propose that we are pressured by fashion. To first truly understand our topic, we need to define the parameters of the motion. What is fashion? Fashion is defined as a popular or the latest style of clothing, hair, decoration, or behavior. Fashion can also be defined as a manner of doing something. Pressure is a force, a use of persuasion and intimidation to make someone do something. Fashion affects all ages, groups, genders, and cultures. Our sense of fashion is determined by society in which we live in, and our elders as well. If we look at fashion, we can see that we are pressured in numerous ways, from the way we dress, walk, talk, eat, and even the electronic devices we use. Media plays a significant role as well. Media imposes an ideal image of us, of what we are supposed to be. What we are exposed to impacts on our behavior strongly as well. Examples: Instagram challenges, which gets millions of views and responses. Another, contouring. It is when people use makeup to change their facial structures to look like something or someone else. Irrespective of their personal views, these followers intimidate the fashionable behaviors of the time. Fashion has pressurized so many youth and elders, forcing them to become obsessed, go into debt, or even worse, it makes one lose our own individuality. The biggest factor of pressure here is social media. While keeping up with Instagram and Twitter may seem harmless at first, it carries a deadly disease. The global market for weight loss in 2014 was estimated to be $586 billion, and mostly because of what people are told what to look like on social media. The latest on models, actors, YouTubers, sports stars, and philosophers draws our attention and makes us follow suit in their direction. The question is not whether the pressure of fashion is positive or negative, but rather if you are actually influenced by fashion, and the answer is a resounding yes. Jazakallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brothers and sisters, we believe that whether or not we realize it, we have found ourselves cornered and pressured by fashion in many immense and difficult ways. From the time we are born, we are pressurized from our own parents, society, and the media, about what is acceptable and what isn't, about what is appropriate and what is fashionable. Once parents will go to immense lengths to pump their child out with the best branded clothing, nappies, and even drinking bottles. A four-year-old child today knows what is fashionable and what is not. The point is that the knowledge and desire to be fashionable is ingrained in us way before we are even able to form our own opinions. Therefore, by adulthood, consciously and subconsciously, we make choices based upon fashion because this concept was forced upon us in our youth. As we are growing up, we are bombarded with standards which we should follow, set by the media. In 2015, Disney Channel proved to be international television's number one network, with 1.3 million views per day, comprising of children between 6 and 14. Is it possible that fashion trends set by such channels do not pressure young children? Advertising can be seen as a major contribution to this pressure. Television, books, games, magazines, and the internet, amongst various other examples, embed these ideals of what is acceptable and what is not into our subconscious, making us victims of fashion. These are all forms of pressure. Why else do we follow fashion? And what else pressurizes us into doing it? Well, just to give a quick statistic. A website known as She Knows specializes in giving tips on how to help teens deal with fashion pressure. This emphasizes even further on how pressurized teens really are. One of the other aspects which pressurizes us massively is our pursuit for success and fame. The core drive of any human being is either wanting to be successful or wanting to behave like the cool people around them. Whether fashion is good or bad is not the issue. The point is that we are affected by it. One's intention is irrelevant to the question here. Whether we follow fashion consciously or subconsciously, we follow it. Even the pious are and were pressurized by fashion. The reason that men aren't allowed to wear gold and silk is because it was in fashion in the time of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, he wanted to take that pressure away from the people of the community. A hadith by Ali ibn Abu Talib. Ultimately, all roads lead to pressure. Jazakallah.
Assalamu alaikum. Fashion plays a big role in all of our lives. What we wear is not often based on the fact if we like it or not, but rather on the so-called successful people and their approval of that certain item. We have forgotten the true and simple meaning of simple clothing and would rather deplete our bank accounts just to fit in or to be normal. The pressure of fashion is everywhere. When we scroll through our cell phones, pass billboards, page through magazines, we see the new haircuts and trending clothes. At that moment is where our desire is created, and we will try our best to possess that item, without realizing that at times we exceed the boundaries of Islam by following trends that go against what Allah and His Nabi have stated. The boundary of fashion does not only end at what clothes we wear. It also includes what we eat, drive, and the manner in which we portray ourselves to the world. Today, fashion teaches us not to be modest and to boast and display a sense of pride to what we own. The biggest of companies in the world have taken well-known people and turned them into brand ambassadors. These people who create the desire in our hearts know what we want and how to influence us to buy it. People often defend themselves by saying that their choice is based on what they like and what they would like to buy. It's based on their taste, the quality of the product, and the price. They do not realize that their choices are based on what they are thinking within their conscience. The fashion industry has grown so vast that there are imitation or fake products that are illegal and are being sold to support those who do not have the financial means to purchase the original product. Even though the products are of inferior quality and are illegal, we will still buy them just so that we make people think that we are following the certain fashion. The adverts that we see are aimed at younger youth. Children provide an emerging market for the fashion world and prove an increasingly lucrative one. According to some studies, direct spending by teens and preteens has tripled since 1990. In 1998, children under 12 spent over $28 billion, mostly on clothes. Does this not point to pressure? Jazakallah.
MashaAllah. Now what will happen is that the team on the opposing end will pose a question. Thereafter, the presenters will pose a question. And lastly, the judges will pose the final question, inshaAllah. So, Abdullah in Islamic Schools, are you ready? Who is going to pose a question?
The main word used in the topic is we, as in the Muslim Ummah. And don't you think that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has left a strong enough legacy behind so that we are not pressured? What is your opinion?
All right, we now would like to get a response from the...
We have 1 minute.
Yes, so they will be discussing among themselves within this 1 minute, and they will, inshallah, then get back with an answer. They're debating. You see, this is what we were also debating, must we go into the third hour or not? And then we said, yeah, let's just take it, isn't it, Yusuf?
And now it looks like we're debating about the name of the school, because I said Abdullah bin Abbas, and you said Abdullah
Epsik,
bin Islamic
just say
school.
Epsik, man.
I don't know.
Just say Epsik, you don't know what
Epsik,
it means.
Just Epsik.
Yeah. Once I asked the student, you know what I mean of CBD? It's like CBD, Monana. CBD. You know? So they couldn't give the actual meaning of the word CBD. And maybe somebody, let's ask somebody in the crowd who can explain what does the term PhD means?
10 seconds left.
Okay, 10 seconds left. 10, 3, 4. Ready? Okay.
All right, Azharwal is ready to answer their question.
Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has left a legacy everywhere he's touched foot. But external forces within the Western world have infiltrated what we think, our influences within our heart. The external forces are so powerful that at times we forget what our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us and rather go against it to be within what is called normal and to be following a certain fashion.
Interesting indeed. The question from the presenter's side, would you differentiate between culture and fashion? Would you say they are the same thing, or would you say they are two different things? And if you say, then why? They have 1 minute to discuss among themselves. So I was asking, maybe somebody from the audience will give you a free CD. Who can answer the question? PhD. PhD. Somebody from the crowd? Can anybody endeavor to answer the question?
And leave your phones in your pocket. We don't want to give Google a CD.
No, not Google. Not with Google's help. Anybody? PhD? I beg your pardon? Doctor of Philosophy. So how do they reach the conclusion PhD then? Could somebody explain that? Sister Shahana will give us the actual meaning afterwards, but let's see if somebody can. PhD. Can somebody explain how they arrive at that conclusion?
5 seconds, 4 seconds, 3 seconds.
Okay, we'll give you a chance, inshallah. It's a very interesting question. It's all a learning process. Alright, so what's the answer?
Well, in our opinion, we find that initially, yes, there was a difference between culture and fashion. Because fashion is a trend set out by certain people with another intention set in mind. Whereas culture is something brought on by our ancestors and so on, which is part of our beliefs. However, in the modern times, we find that this difference does not exist anymore. That, all of these social media and all of that has like merged the two together. And examples of this is we can see that, other cultures, like white cultures, they're wearing scarves, which, Muslims, the hijab, which is a Muslim ideology, is now being worn by other cultures as well. So initially, yes, there was a difference, but now it has been merged so much, it's like one massive fruit salad. We can't really tell the difference.
Wow. So is it tomato or salad, fruit or vegetable?
I say vegetable.
Okay, we're now going to ask the judges to pose their question. Maybe who will be posing? Uncle Ismail. Okay.
Define the difference of quality and fashion.
1 minute. They've got a minute.
Brands and fashion.
All right, so they have another 60 seconds to decide.
There was
that
a participant from Malay Yusuf that was explaining PhD.
PhD.
Would you like to try? No man? Okay, come forward. Oh, it's working. All right, let's take the mic then.
What does PhD mean?
PhD.
I would like to explain the process. So first you get your degree, your honors, your master's, and then your doctorate. And if you pass your doctorate, you get a PhD.
Is that correct, Sister Shahana? The mic.
She's soundless. She's explaining the process.
Yeah.
But not what
exactly.
PhD means.
Yes. What does
so the process is, it's like you go to grade 1 and grade 2 and then you end up in matric, that's the process at school. PhD is a doctorate in philosophy, but it's the philosophy of a subject.
Okay, we'll get to you, inshallah, after this. Are you ready to answer your question? Right, let's see.
Okay. Brand is a name and quality is different. If a product is branded, doesn't mean it has good quality. For example, if you use Converse, a lot of people wear Converse. It's a style. It looks so informal on people. And it's not practical for a child when he's playing in the mud and sand, but yet they do wear it. So there's a difference between a quality and there's a difference between brand and quality.
MashaAllah. So the first round has come to an end with the participants who are in favor of it. Mala Yusuf, let's take matters forward now.
We move on to the next team. This is the team Abdullah bin.
Okay, not a problem. You can continue. Inshallah.
Okay, yes, so the judges just requested some time before we actually move to the next pool. But just to, put you into perspective what exactly is happening. So now the Abdullah bin Salam Islamic Center, They're going to go up next, and they're speaking against it. So are we pressured by fashion? They're basically against it. And so once again, it's going to be the same format. They have three students, introduction, body, conclusion, and thereafter also questions of, in the same manner would be asked.
Okay, so we are busy waiting for the judges to do their summation, inshallah. As soon as they are ready, we'll start with the second round. And this is coming to you live from Kelvin, and more specifically, Abdullah bin Salam Islamic Center. Mala Yusuf, just to pick up also on that Sareed, earlier Mala Bilal Mullah was speaking about Mala Suhaib, maybe if you remember, annually Mala Alauddin, our Honorable Ustad, who teaches Tirmizi and Shama'ilu Tirmizi, he gives you a dawat at the end of the year, and that is the most outstanding dawat that you eat in your life. The reason why I say that is that you rarely get the opportunity of tasting Sareed in its proper form and how it's made. So Mala Alauddin Saab prepares the Sareed. How do I explain it? It's difficult to explain. The Sareed is made, and the bread is on the one side, the naan, and you dip it and you eat it. It's not totally waterish, nor is it totally thick, but it's just in between, but it leaves a very beautiful taste in the mouth. And that is why the Prophet of Allah compared Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha and said she is like Sareed over every other meal and dish in the Arabian Peninsula. Mala Suhaib, maybe you can remember those moments.
Ji, Mala, just to explain to our listeners and those that have gathered here what happens, and when we just before we qualify, before our Jalsa takes place, all the teachers, they invite the students to their house and they prepare a meal. But like you mentioned, Mulana Alauddin Saab, he stayed in Saudi Arabia for quite a long period, over 15, 17 years. And because of that, he knows and his family knows how to prepare that particular dish. And I also, alhamdulillah, enjoyed it. And the way you described it, that was perfect. It's not like a soup also, and it's not like a gravy also, but something in between that the Arabs, even in today's time, the Arabs still have this on a daily basis.
Maybe somebody from Abdullah bin Salam Islamic Center. Are we ready, judges? All right, let's move into Yusuf.
Right, we move into the, not the next round, it's basically the same, but we're now going to the opposing team. And this is the Abdullah bin Salam Islamic Center. Their team consists of three contestants, Aisha Wadi, Safira Mal, and Uthman Musa. These are the three contestants, and they will go once again, introduction, body, and conclusion. So is it Aisha giving us the introduction?
To the respected judges, parents, esteemed opposition, and brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Muslims around the world are being ostracized. We are being marginalized and being pushed into a corner. We feel for our brothers and sisters as the world tries to close in on us. We feel the pressure. We are being tried and tested in Yemen, Syria, and in Palestine. Muslims are abused and killed and go missing without a trace. We feel the pressure. When a Muslim baby is washed, drowned on the shores of Greece, we cry bitterly and we feel the pressure that tightens around our hearts. So, dear brothers and sisters, are we pressured by fashion? Fashion is so puny and irrelevant, and we do not have time for it in our lives. You may argue that the media plays a significant role when it comes to applying pressure on us and making fashion accessible to us. We say as Muslims, we take what is good and leave off what is evil. Fashionable homes with solar-powered features can save us money. We take. We are discerning Muslims, and we should teach our young ones to be discerning too. If we argue that we are under constant pressure to eat KFC, drink Coke, and to buy quality pork, it does not mean we are going to rush out to buy these products. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with a beautiful function of reason. We recognize the lies and we are not pressured by it. You may argue that we are all not strong, but our beloved messenger has encouraged us to educate ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not avert your face from people out of haughtiness and do not strut about arrogantly on earth. God does not love anyone who is vain or boastful, as reported in the Quran. Models on the ramp are taught to strut their stuff. They are taught to be vain and boastful. How can they put pressure on us? We are immune to fashion. We have been wired to see through fashion. Pressure? What pressure? I stand before you as a Muslim, carefree, knowing that I am comfortable in the clothing that has been prescribed for me. For me, living a simple life, a sunnah life. Allah Ta'ala has made His religion very easy, very easy for people to love by. Religion loves all the burdens and things that are humiliating and restricting and that can cause people hardship. Jazakallah.
I mean, Jazakallah for that. We move on then. It will be Sister Aisha Wadi to give us the body.
Assalamu alaikum. As we undergo a global recession, the spend now, think later philosophy is getting less and less fashionable. Today, consumers tend to be more mindful of their consumption. They are happy to have just enough and they are opting for durability and quality. There is a new consuming philosophy that is about using instead of owning. What will happen to the fashion industry if we really learn to use responsibly? Thus, fashion industry would crumble. Fashion encourages us to discard the old and go for the new. Who ever heard of second-hand clothing being fashionable? In 2010, the consumption GDP fell in China for the first time in 6 decades. Is this not an indication that that people are not being pressured by fashion? They are now in control of how they choose to spend. People who were once slaves to fashion have now grown ethics, a brain, and have learned how to save. With an economy so bleak, people face the pressure of putting food on their plates, paying off bonds, and saving for their children's education. I'm sure you would agree, beloved listeners, that we have more pressing concerns in the 21st century. These fashion freaks have left us with a world that is getting polluted, animals becoming extinct, starving models walking around half naked. We feel humiliated rather than pressured by fashion. If we look at the history of fashion, we see that it was the pastime of the rich and idle. Marie Antoinette, the Queen of France, will be remembered for saying to the poor, "If there is no bread, eat cake." She was the icon of fashion in the 17th century and probably was the mother of haute couture, high fashion. The war put paid to all of her fashion ideas, thankfully. In the 60s, Earl K. Burgee became famous in the West for inventing the miniskirt. We don't remember any of our Muslim role models wearing a miniskirt, do we? In the 80s, everything was about being seen. Big hair, big shoulder pads. We can see that fashion is a folly of the West. The essence of Islam is modesty. As Muslims, we have always strived towards being inconspicuous. So, are we pressured by fashion? I don't think so. I feel that fashion is being pressured by us. If we look at dressing, workplaces, schools, varsities have dozens of youths wearing scarves, and in fact, many have challenged institutions if they are refused to wear scarves. The pressure is on those attempting to stop us from practicing our modest religion. Boys are proud to have beards, even at schools where they are predominantly non-Muslim learners. Now, even the non-Muslim learners are growing beards. The latest fashion is to wear trousers above the ankles, but tell me, Who has practiced this all these years? Certainly, the pressure is on others to follow us. There is absolutely no pressure on us. We are the trendsetters, and there's pressure on others to follow and adapt or lose out. Hold on to Islam and feel no pressure. Jazakallah.
MashaAllah, now to give us the conclusion will be Uthman Musa.
Assalamu alaikum. We have heard how fashion can pressurize others, but we are armed with a religion called Islam. We have a shield around us. We have weapons, such as the Quran, the Sunnah, and the Sharia. Let us examine the word pressure. It is an application of force which can cause an individual to bend, to strain, and to finally give in to the force. Can we categorize fashion as a force? We are faced with many other real pressures in the 21st century. We will prove that fashion is just a mere trifling. It is a tiny drop in the ocean which cannot pressurize an educated believer. We are not pressured by fashion simply because as Muslims we proudly follow the Sunnah, which in itself is such a perfect and wholesome lifestyle that there is absolutely no room for us to be impressed by fashion or any other un-Islamic ways. Chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By way of example, it is sunnah to eat using your hands, whilst the fashion or the norm is eating using a spoon and a fork. I prefer to eat using my hands, simply because it is sunnah, and part of the other benefits are the hygiene, the ease, the convenience, and the practicality. I know very sure that I have washed my hands, but the cleanliness of your spoon or fork is at the mercy of the dishwasher. My hand was created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whilst your spoon was made in China. This is just a brief example as to why I'm not pressured by fashion. It has nothing to offer in comparison to the prophetic tradition of our beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fashion is so hollow, it is unable to sustain itself for a long period of time. Hence we see something that was perceived to be great yesterday all of a sudden becomes laughing stock today. And in a similar manner, what everyone goes crazy for today will become a joke tomorrow. So if fashion cannot sustain itself, why should I choose it? We learn from a hadith, "Man tashabbaha biqawmin fahuwa minhum." Whoever imitates a nation will be regarded as from amongst them. Why should I follow an inferior lifestyle and be part of a people who choose not to believe in my Allah? It just doesn't make sense. To the Ummah, are we not above fashion? Is our religion not superior to anything others can offer? Are we feeling pressured? No, definitely not. Not in the slightest. Our way of life has been perfected for us. We are Muslims, and proudly so. I ask you again, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, are we pressured by fashion? Jazakallah.
MashaAllah, that was the Abdullah bin Salam Islamic School, MashaAllah. Right, it's time to move on to the questions. Azadwal Muslim School, do you have your question ready for them?
Okay, we'll give them a minute. Mala Yusuf, it's a really educational journey for us, and we drove down, alhamdulillah, we as the presenters, we are learning so much from the participants and how they are debating, how they are arguing and presenting the arguments. Alhamdulillah, there's so much to learn as a listener also.
See, there is, and I think what's really encouraging is we find that there's a lot of facts in these arguments. You know, it's not just about, yeah, I'll show you and I know this and you don't know that. There's a lot of facts. There's, you know, it's dignified discussions and dignified debates. And that's the thing. I mean, Islam doesn't say we shouldn't debate or we shouldn't discuss, but of course there's an etiquette, there's a manner in which we should do it.
Yes, وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِهِ أَحْسَنْ. Are we ready? Okay, we'll speak about, remind me later, وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِهِ أَحْسَنْ.
So it's time for the three questions. Remember, the first question comes from the opposing school, which will be Azadwal Muslim School. So Azadwal, you go ahead and shoot your question.
Even though we are Muslims in the modern day and era, we find those amongst the audience who are wearing certain clothing, which even if it is Sharia, it doesn't matter. We are saying that pressure of fashion is just acted upon us. And actually beards and pants above ankles is a fashion, especially amongst the street style individual. The argument we are presenting is a general statement of being pressured by fashion, be it good or bad. What is your response to this?
Okay, they got 1 minute to discuss and reply to that.
Yeah, I was saying that debate is found within... Oh, you want to repeat the last part.
And especially amongst the street style individual, the argument we are presenting is a general statement of being pressured by fashion, be it good or bad. What is your response to the question?
Okay, so you've got a minute to come up with an answer. In the meanwhile, the Quran says, وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. Sometimes people require sound arguments, intellectual discussions to be bought into the idea. So for a layman, maybe a simple, you say, brother, you must perform 5 times salah. Mm-hmm. He'll accept it. Are we ready? Wow, they're really not pressured.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا.
Wow.
I have perfected for you your deen and I have chosen Islam as your religion. Why is there anything for us to add on to religion? Why not just choose the Islamic way?
All right. The second question will now be posed by Maulana Yusuf Umar and thereafter the judges, inshallah.
The second question I have for you is, you mentioned about, I think Uthman had mentioned that why should he follow fashion when fashion changes so rapidly? I mean, today you've got your pants above your ankle, tomorrow the entire pants is upside down, the next day it's below your ankle, then you've got a different type of cap, different type of hairstyle, it's always changing. But the thing is, we have to admit, we have to acknowledge, and we have to understand there are some Muslims that are following these trends. Now, we're speaking about those individuals. What do you think? What do you think? No, I wouldn't say what do you think is wrong with them, but where do you think they are going wrong? Why are they following these trends?
Yeah, so where was I now? Yeah, for a layman, if you tell him there's 5 salahs in a day, he'll accept it. For some people, they want to know why. And they need a sound argument and they want an intellectual discussion. So, you had these kind of people in every era, like Abu al-Hassan al-Ash'ari rahimahullah ta'ala was a Mu'tazili. It's like deep discussions, let's leave all that. But sometimes you need sound discussions and arguments to win the person over. And people who are open-minded and who have an open heart, when they hear the truth being presented to them, they accept it immediately. And that is why the Quran is saying, وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ and debate them in a suitable manner, meaning with compelling arguments. If you've got a compelling argument, then inshallah you can win your opponent over. And there's a lot of fascinating things that I can share with you, but let's go to Abdullah bin Salam Islamic Center. Are you ready with the answer?
Yes.
Okay.
They feel that they are going to be left out. That's why they follow it, even though it is useless.
Okay. Our third question will now come from the judges. And Sister Shahana is picking up the mic, I think so. Okay.
Can I go ahead?
Yes.
All right. You kept on insisting that as Muslim, we are not pressurized to follow fashion, right? Because our dress and everything else is prescribed. However, Islamic wear has become very fashion conscious right now. There's all branded abayas. Every designer house has created abayas from Givenchy to you name it, they have stuff. And our people have become fashion compliant. I mean, scarves have Guess and Chanel and everything else on it. So as much as you're saying it's, we're not pressurized, aren't we?
Yes, so they are going to be consulting one another to get the answer, inshallah. What are they speaking about?
Something about...
Yeah, so I think it was...
You are going too deep, that's why I can't even remember what you were speaking about.
Yeah, subhanAllah, by the time I remember what I was speaking about...
Ashari or something. Something about Ashari.
Yeah, they'll have the answers ready. Inshallah, you can make way for the other team so long.
If you just joined us, it's the Azadwal Muslim School against the Abdullah bin Salam Islamic Center. And the topic is, are we pressured by fashion? And if so, why are we coming to the end of the debate? In fact, we just got one more answer left from Abdullah bin Salam Islamic Center. And then, of course, it will be up to the judges to decide. I think the time is up.
Arras, are we ready? Let's go on.
There's a time's up.
As Speaker Wan mentioned, we take the good and we leave the bad. So likewise, the scarf is a good thing in Islam to wear. So we people choose to buy the fashion. But that's up to them what they would... it's an individual
decision, and it's against Islam to buy any of these name branded scarves and that, I would feel.
Okay, Jazakumullah khairan. The judges are going to discuss among themselves. In the meanwhile, we say Jazakumullah to both participants from Azad Bil Muslim School as well as Abdullah bin Salam Islamic Center. The other two teams, inshallah, Mala Sahib, can you find out who's for and who's against? Well, they have already chosen. They can come along, inshallah.
Next up, we'll be having Johannesburg Muslim School against the Malaysia Muslim School. LMS versus JMS. So a request for both teams to come up, Malaysia Muslim School and Johannesburg Muslim School.
Yes, can we?
Can we not start?
We're going to go for a quick ad break. When we return, we'll continue.
From Calvin, on Saturday, the 11th of June, Sukun Program, Muslim School Initiative, there's an hour and iftar drive, all live from Calvin. Radio Islam International.
Yes, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. It's just past 12 here in Calvin. The Radio Islam team is here. We're moving on to the second debate. It's the same topic, but we got, of course, two new schools. It's Johannesburg Muslim School up against Lanesia Muslim School. Now, Johannesburg Muslim School is in favor of it. They are saying that, yes, we believe that we are pressured by fashion. And the their participants, and just correct me if I'm wrong, we have Ahmad Salaji, Saira Mahmood, and Masuda Musa. Are we ready? Are the judges ready? Yes, I think Johannes Muslim School, who's doing your introduction, you can start. Remember, as soon as you start, your 3 minutes start.
On behalf of the proposition team, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to one and all. She forces her fingers deep into her throat. Her bulimic, wasted body vibrates. She looks into the mirror, and a stick-like figure with sunken eyes stares back at her, but all she sees is a fat, ugly body. Bulimia and anorexia are just some of the ills which are a direct result of the fashion industry. The largest dress size made by fashion house Dolce & Gabbana is a US 10. The average size of American and South African women is between 12 and 14. Have we become so enslaved by this tyranny of fashion that we have ceased to realize how trapped we are? The motion of this debate is, are we pressured by fashion? And if so, why? As the debate team from the Johannesburg Muslim School, this house firmly believes and will seek to prove to you today that yes, we are pressured by fashion. As the proposition team, this house will lay the parameters for the debate. We will discuss and accept all points relating to fashion in South Africa and around the world from an Islamic and Western perspective for males as well as for females. Statistics show that a shocking 38% of men would sacrifice at least a year of their lives in exchange for a perfect body. Half of 16 to 21-year-olds would consider cosmetic surgery. 16 to 21-year-olds, cosmetic surgery? We are all influenced by magazine covers and images on social media, but it has been proven that these images are photoshopped to such an extent that they are realistically unattainable. This has led to the youth hating themselves and, as a result, committing suicide. Even the modest abaya has morphed from being a cover for the body. The modern abaya is very revealing, defeating the purpose of wearing it. It has evolved from being a cover to a wrap, a fashion item. Fashion houses ensure that trends die each season to keep profits rolling in, causing debt, then depression in diehard followers. So much of preparation goes into every outfit that if we ever feel that we are not the best dressed, depression sets in.
Among the top 5 diagnosed conditions in the world is depression, anxiety, and stress.
You may finish your point if you want.
Okay, finish your point.
As I sit here before you, I know that you're judging me. You're judging the way my jacket looks. You're judging the cut of my abaya. And just with one look at me, you have formed an opinion about me and my appearance. Not because of who I am. By this, I feel pressured.
Hmm. But you know, the judge is supposed to judge you. All right, let's move on. I see the mic is in Ahmed Salah's hand.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Talking about the subject of being pressured by fashion, you know, it's a very complex topic because there is an Islamic perspective to this thing and there is also a Western perspective to this thing. Based on the Islamic perspective, yes, we agree that we've been taught by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and it's been brought up in our houses or most of our houses of how we should dress, of how we should love. But still, you see so many Muslim children going around with these fancy two-length haircuts without a kurta, without a topi, going to the masjids, coming into the masjids like this. They are willing to stand in front of their creator wearing the fashions of the West. So it's not only that Western, that non-Muslims are following these fashions, but it's also that Muslim children are getting caught up in this trap and are being forced to follow these fashions. The reasons for this, there are various reasons, but we would like to state a few. According to a study done by www.lifeofchildren.org, that the suicide is the third most cause of death for children between the age of 15 to 24. And then 90% of these suicides are based on pressure being put on by others to fit into society, to feel as part of this, to feel as part of this generation. Fashion controls a person's life. A person is going out. He cannot just go out. He has to first see how he looks. He has to first see how his body is. He has to first see what watch he has on, what phone he's got out. And then only can leave his house so that when other people see him, they see him for a figure. They see him and give him status in society. But that's not true. You cannot base status on what we have and on what we use. But you have to base status on how high a person's iman is or how charitable a person is. And we are pressured by fashion now that we have to dress up well. We have to use the best things. Otherwise we are going to be judged. Otherwise we are going to be degraded. And yes, you can say that, how can we argue for this topic and say we are pressured by fashion, but then we still dress up sunnah. But the reason for this is that we are not talking about the few people that actually are not pressured. We are talking about the masses, the majority of people that are pressured. If you go, as we go to all these tuition workshops and you go around, you see that only 2 or 3 out of the entire class of 30 will come dressed in a kurta. And I'll give you my own example. When I go to these workshops, then people classify you and they start calling you Molana. But you're not a Molana. You're just a boy who decided to put on his kurta and topi and then go to a workshop. But now you get classified as a Molana because of your dressing. You get classified based on your social standings. And this is why then people then say, no, you know what, I cannot wear a kurta. I do not want to be called a Molana. I want to go out, I want to go look there, there's nice girls maybe at the workshop, I want to go impress them. So you know what, I'm going to put on my skinny jeans, which I say are very detrimental to health. Boys should not wear such tight things. They want to have their two-length haircut. Can I finish the point? Girls want to come all dressed half naked, even more exposed than boys' body. For what? For status. And this should not be our goal in life. Jazakallah.
Alright, next up we have the conclusion. You may proceed.
Okay. So a few years ago, there was this model from South Korea. Her name was Do Kim. And she used to model for like high fashion brands like Chanel and Alexander McQueen. And then suddenly, on the 20th of November 2009, they found her hanged in her luxury flat in Paris. She had committed suicide. And people were speculating about this, like, why did she commit suicide? She had an amazing life. What led her to commit suicide? And this is what conclusion they came to. She had succumbed to the pressure of high fashion modeling and a loss of identity. And this is exactly what fashion companies aim to do. They want to show you something that is unrealistic, not actually real. They want to make you buy these things. They want to make money, make millions of dollars for themselves, make you feel bad about yourself, get low self-esteem and everything. And yes, you might say, now fashion is one of the biggest industries in the world. that they get millions of dollars. It's important for them. They employ thousands of people every year. But many people do not know this. So many leading fashion brands like Nike, Gap, Marks and Spencer's, they have sweatshops where working conditions for workers are disgusting. They get paid less than 40 cents a day, child labor is a frequent occurrence, and workers are beaten. And I would like to strengthen my point further. I would like to show you how fashion actually pressures us. So I have some statistics. According to a study, in 1998, children spent $28 billion on clothing. And in 2004, children spent $169 billion on clothing. And then come to 2014, this number increased to $259 billion just on clothing. And why? Why do they spend so much on clothes? Because they want to fit in. Because society is telling them that this is what is nice, this is what you should look like, this is what will make you feel better. And fashion companies know. They know that children are more susceptible to peer pressure. They know children get more affected by fashion fads. That's why they aim their advertising and marketing mainly on teenagers. The outside world affects our everyday thinking to a far greater extent than we realize. You might say that as Muslims you aren't pressured, but let me give you a statistic. The average spending of women in Saudi Arabia on clothes only is 50,000 riyals per year. That is 128,000 rands per year for just one woman on clothes. That's not good. Very few of us have the ability to stand up to peer pressure and be ourselves. We lose our values, our attitude. It might be good, we might be changing in a different way, but ultimately at the end of the day, we aren't ourselves. We are what fashion companies tell us to be. I believe the youth should change this. We shouldn't get pressured by fashion. And according to Mahatma Gandhi, I believe we should be the change we want to see in the world. Jazakallah.
But mashallah, that was Johannesburg Muslim School, of course, in favor that yes, we are. They feel that we are pressured by fashion. It's now time for their three questions. The first question will come from the opposing school. That is Lanesia Muslim School. LMS, do you have your question ready? Go ahead. Remember, once they ask a question, you'll have 60 seconds to discuss or think of an answer. You may start.
If the Quran and the Sunnah has prescribed not only our code of life, but also our dressing, what scope does that leave us to be influenced by fashion and the icons of the fashion industry?
All right, 60 seconds, start.
Yes, they've got 60 seconds to come up with an answer, and we are into the second leg of this competition in terms of debate. And shortly the para, they will come, and today the reciter is Morana Zaid Manju, inshallah, from KZN, and he will be reciting the seventh juz. The seventh juz today, inshallah. Yes, debate is healthy. If a community does not cater for debate and intellectual discussion, then that means you don't have the right to be different in life. Okay, are you ready with your answer? Okay, go ahead.
Okay, in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the iman level was on such a high standard, and over the years it has dropped. And our iman is of such a weak level. We have absolutely no, we can't stand up to fashion, if we can't say no, we won't be pressured by fashion, because so many of us, almost all of us, are pressurized in some way or another, whether we are Muslim or not, and whether we realize it or not, because this is what society has put upon us and advertised it everywhere on the media, whether we know about it or not, whether we realize it or not, we are pressured.
Okay, our second question will now be posed by Maulana Yusuf Umar, and thereafter, inshallah, the judges.
See, a question I have for you is, sometimes it's not, I feel it's not really being pressured by fashion. Example, if I wear, I want to buy this new shoe and I want to walk with it, I just feel it gives me confidence. If I go for a job interview or whatever, I just feel it gives me confidence walking in the street. How would you distinguish the two? What exactly is confidence and what exactly is now, you know, kind of just keeping up with the trends or submitting to the pressure?
Okay, we would love to offer you refreshments, but I'm afraid we are fasting, so we cannot offer you refreshments. And we will be, inshallah, waiting till the siren blows for iftar. So I was saying that Debate is good. If a household or a community does not cater for debate and intellectual discussion, then that means they are telling you you've got no right to be different in life and you've got no right to express your views. Yes, Sahaba also had different views among themselves. Even in fiqh, they had different views. I hope they keep in time there. Yeah. So the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum also had different views, and that is why we find the four different schools today. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi, Imam Ahmed bin Hanbal, Imam Malik and Imam Abu Hanifa. And each school argues that our point is stronger on this base. Okay, let's go to the participants. Are you ready for the answer?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see.
I understand the fact that whatever you wear, it gives you confidence. So if you like something, it's going to give you confidence. And yes, if you want to wear nice clothes on Eid, you want to wear a shoe that's going to make you feel confident, it's just going to make you feel happy. Yeah, it's fine. But then when you try to fit in with society, when it's like, that guy is waiting, so I'm also going to wait. Or that guy looks nice, that's why I'm also going to wait. When you wear things when they're just in and not when they're just in the season and not for your own confidence and for your own happiness, that's when it's classified as being pressured by fashion and not for your own happiness and confidence. And it's all to fit in with fashion and to make you feel wanted and to not have a low self-esteem. And in the end, your actions are judged by your intentions. So if your intention is to feel happy and confident, then it's fine. But if your intention is to follow that guy or that girl because they look pretty and they look nice, then it's wrong. Because then you're getting pressured by fashion, and that's the aim that fashion has accomplished. All these brands, they've accomplished the aim. Thank you.
Jazakumullah. Now the final question will be posed by the judges. Mullah Yusuf, everything is moving in threes. Three participants on that side, three participants on this side, three presenters on this side, and three judges on that side, and three questions also. So let's go to the third question. Uncle Ismail?
Ready for a mathematical question? Pressure equals or unequals fashion.
Okay, there's a lot of pressure, think about it. And you've got about 60 seconds. Yeah, so you must allow for different views. Because as they say in life, all five fingers are not the same. All five fingers are not the same. And even in one house, Ma Yusuf. Oh, there's no pressure. Right, let's see.
The answer to that would be that pressure is equal to fashion, and that's what we've been arguing, or where we presented to you so far, is that everything that fashion comes from is pressure, because the only reason why it works, it's actually a two-way relationship, it's a math equation, an identity, you can put it, where fashion is equal to pressure. So first of all, people are pressured to go by fashion, and fashion is now pressured to come out with new trends for people to follow. So it's a two-way relationship. It's a math identity, as is in mathematical question, where now people got to show their, people have to follow this fashion because of the pressure, and then fashion got to come up with new things because they have pressure now from other people. But the bigger side would be that fashion is pressuring people, and people have to keep on following this fashion to fit in, to be part of society, to feel that there's something greater than what they are, and that is totally incorrect. You should do something because you want to do something, not because you are being told by someone else to do something. That's what we firmly believe, and that's what this house will stand by. Jazakallah.
A very fashionable answer also, Jazakumullah, for that. So the first team has concluded their session, Mala Yusuf. Now the second team.
We go on, yes. The second team, the opposing team, Lanesha Muslim School, of course they are against it. They are saying that no, we do not feel that we are pressured by fashion. The contestants representing Lanesha Muslim School, Fatima Dolly, Amara Mal, and Yusra Kala. Who's giving us the introduction?
Fatima Dolly.
Fatima Dolly.
Okay.
Right. Fatima, you may start. Remember, as soon as you say your first word, your 3 minutes will start.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Surely by now, you think you have been convinced beyond a shadow of doubt that we teenagers are all but influenced by the fashion world, media, friends, and the celeb world. That we have lost our intrinsic individuality and have allowed ourselves to be steamrolled into one group of conformists. No, my dear adjudicators, we, Fatima Dolly and my colleagues, Amara Mal and Yusra Kala, together with the youth of the 21st century, and especially the Muslimas, beg to differ categorically with the opposition. Firstly, let us begin with the dictionary meaning of the word fashion. Fashion is defined as a popular trend, especially in styles of dress, as well as manners of behavior. We are Muslims first, and then human. We agree that we have the strictest and noblest master, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who has clarified not only our code of dress, but every aspect of our lives, be it our greeting, mannerisms, and even conduction in society. Then how can we for a moment doubt the integrity of a true Muslim youth when it comes to dressing? Surely, those body-hugging pants and second skin wear are chosen as fashion statements by the Western world because they have no other role models of piety, beauty, chastity, and intellect to emulate. Unlike us, where our role models for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, as well as his daughter Sayyidatina Fatima radiallahu anha, who was the paragon of modesty and dressed exclusively in loose clothing. No, my esteemed opposition, you are mistaken when you mention that true Muslims are the slaves of the Western world. The celebs and icons of the fashion world are so desperate to impress that their idea of fashion is to gain attention only. And it is something that we the public do not even want to emulate. How often do you see ordinary everyday people wearing the outlandish outfits from the catwalk or wearing the daring and freakish dresses that celebs wear? Hardly. You would not want to be caught dead in those so-called outfits. And honestly speaking, if we the youth are so influenced by fashion, why do we pride ourselves in not buying and wearing the same style, clothing, or brands that our friends wear? Is it not that we want to set ourselves apart from them and not blend in with them, thereby creating our own sense of style that reflects our inner diva? Yes, we create fashion and we do not follow fashion.
Just a quick reminder to the opposing teams that you need to maintain your decorum even if you don't agree with the opposing team. No funny gestures from either side, please. Jazakumullah.
As my colleague explained previously, we are not influenced by fashion. Our beautiful religion of Islam has encouraged us to wear our Islamic garbs proudly. The men in kurtas and topi and the women in modest clothing and scarves. We have taken our clothing and made it our own in terms of color and style. Yet, they are unique representations of the Muslim world, as opposed to the Western world, where everyone looks the same, dresses the same, and behaves in the same way too. Due to the West and its influences, mankind has lost its individuality. Do you see the Zulus in their traditional way? Do you see the Hindus in their cultural way? No, but who do you see with the Islamic attire proudly walking the streets, at work or going for salah on a daily basis? Yes, we Muslims. We do not succumb to influences from the outside, but we adhere to the teachings of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Corset wearing, bosom bearing and belly button tearing are just a few examples of fashion today. Shukr alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us Muslims and has instilled the importance and need for chastity wherein every Muslim should dress modestly as to be protected from the evil eye as well as the good ones too. We also see that we as South Africans are not influenced by fashion and its norms as most school learners are required to wear school uniforms. The purpose is to place learners on the same level and not subject them to ridicule due to their status and dress. More importantly, our deen is so beautiful that we see no influence of fashion when we go for Hajj and Umrah. Everyone wears the same simple style to meet their Creator and has embraced the fact that even when we die, we will all be fashionably dressed in the same style of the kafan. In actual fact, the West have begun to copy our fashion as they recognize that we Muslims stand strong against their influence. we are influencing their fashion due to our individuality, as they have brought about various styles reflecting Islamic width. This is seen in the Dolce & Gabbana new range of clothes. Currently, Muslim men are also very fashionable these days. Men's fashion have also been influenced, where we see men with beards and their pants folded above their ankles on the catwalk. What was once old-fashioned and laughed upon, due to its constant existence, have now become popular trends in the modern world. Bravo! We are the masters of fashion, not its followers.
Okay, the conclusion now.
I would like to reiterate that besides our way of dressing, what differentiates us from the rest of the world is our behavior and our mannerisms. Our Prophet ﷺ has guided his ummah not only in our Islamic attire, but has also guided us in terms of how we interact with each other and with the world at large. The popular trends have extended to the way in which people practice their religion. The West has become a godless world where prayer is either once a week or even twice yearly. The Lionel Messi's, Justin Bieber's and Liam Hemsworth have become the new gods of today, where the youth succumb to worshipping them daily. We, as true Muslims, do not follow this trend, as we know our duty is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we prove it daily by praying 5 times a day, reading the Quran, fasting, and dressing and behaving according to our religion. The loss of morality and dehumanization is a trend that is rampant across the world. People have become self-absorbed to such a point that even a simple greeting or a smile is hard to give. That is why, as true Muslims, we are instructed by the Prophet ﷺ to be courteous to all people, regardless of religion, race, wealth, and status, to help others in need, which is seen through our giving of zakat and various community service projects, as well as nation building, which is seen through our jamaat work that occurs globally. These make the Muslims unique, as we do not follow the godless trends of the West. We follow the beloved Quran and the Sunnah. In conclusion, fashion is a farce. It is a repetitive cyclic motion which lulls society into believing that it is unique and that it is new. It is created to prey on the minds of the youth, our self-esteem and confidence, by trying to influence us all that to be considered unique and your own person, you need to be like everyone else. That is the irony of fashion. And we as opposing team state that we Muslims are not like everyone else. We, as true Muslims, pride ourselves in standing apart from the rest in terms of our dress and behavior. And we are not influenced by popular trends in dressing and behavior, otherwise known as fashion. Jazakallah.
MashaAllah, that was the Lanesia Muslim School and their side of the argument. They feel that, no, they are not pressured by fashion. Of course, now it's their 3 questions. The first question coming from Johannesburg Muslim School. JMS, do you have your question ready?
Solid.
Go for it.
Before we actually ask the question, just 2 things I want to state first. First, we said when we set our parameters, the debate is going to go for not only Muslim children, but this youth in general, and it was only defended in Muslims. So coming back to my second point now, that the first sister, when she began the debate, she said that we follow the Quran, and we have the Quran and the Hadith, and it's there for us to follow. And it's a true fact. The Quran and Hadith are there. We as Muslims have to follow that Quran and Hadith. But we know that from the time of the Prophet, when they could actually follow it till now, the iman has decreased. People's iman are not as strong. For example, if today I had to tell this room of people, you're coming, you're going for, if the Prophet had to come and say, come, you're going for jihad, people will be like,
like, you know, hey, I gotta go home, or the mother-in-law's coming home, I gotta go do something. You know, there's always something. Where those times you told Sahaba we are going for war. Sahaba was just married. He just got married, but he left everything and they went for war. They went out in the path of Allah. So today iman has dropped. So how can you justify the statement that because we have the Quran and Hadith which sets out things for us, that we won't be pressured by fashion, when it is a clear fact that our iman level has dropped?
Okay, we've got a minute to respond to that and some very compelling arguments. May I ask, who's your father? Are you Muhammad Salih? I can make out by the way you talk. Your father also, mashallah, just comes behind the mic and he is able to talk, mashallah. You can make out Muhammad Salih.
Just one thing, when you do not give just a question, please do not go into a lengthy. It becomes very difficult for them to understand what you're saying. So it's just a shortened question.
Yes.
JazakAllah, I think they're now responding, but remember, it has to be a question and not a lengthy.
See, but I had to explain to them why the question.
That's his father's genes. that's playing out, mashallah. I wonder if he's listening to me. Maybe he's also got some properties in India with Brother Farooq there. He can ask us. Mashallah. Yes, so as I was saying, Yusuf, in one house, are they ready? Time up. Okay, JMS against LMS. Let's see what LMS has to respond.
Certainly, Allah Ta'ala neither looks at your bodies nor at your appearance, but He looks at your heart and your actions. Although fashion has evolved, it has evolved within the boundaries of the Quran and the Sharia.
Okay, your second question is from me, and the question is that, are we not pressured by society? I mean, for every wedding we need a new outfit, even the old one is so good. And even the woman will not wear the same abaya she wore in the last wedding, she'll never wear it to the second wedding. So are we not pressured, number one? And also, if you look at the groom, he wears the kurta to the nikah ceremony, and he wears a suit and tie or casual wear to the hall. Is that not pressure of the society? How would you respond? So, Mala Yusuf, one house, same parents, the kids are from the same parents, but their thinking and their intellectual levels are totally different. One might see a total different picture to the other one. Isn't that unique?
See, indeed, that is unique. In fact, this morning on the Sehri program, we discussed it. You know, we were discussing about the topic of discussion at the time of Sehri, and you said that you'll find one sibling that can't stop talking, and the other one just can't open his mouth at the time of Sehri. You know, and the one is thinking like, you know, like why nobody wants to talk to me, and everybody else is wondering when he's going to keep quiet. But it's just in the same family, same background, same bloodline, everything, but it's...
Time up. Are you ready with your answer, LMS? Okay.
Even though trends of fashion have been influenced by the media, by society, by red carpet events and Instagram, etc., the attire that we dress ourselves with is purely a conscious decision. It needs to be dictated by our moral and Islamic values, and most importantly, our socioeconomic status. By the same token, we are exposed to pornography and nudity on a daily basis. This does not mean that Quran-abiding Muslim scholars succumb to these evils and these influences. Therefore, even though we are definitely exposed to fashion on media, the choice to be influenced by these trends ultimately rests with us and both our levels of iman. Also, Mulana, as you have mentioned with the scenario of the bride and the groom, they are still covering their sitter even though their sense of justice evolves.
Interesting indeed. And now we will ask the judges to pose the final question, and thereafter we'll go for the summation and we'll continue thereafter, inshallah.
Yeah, look, my question is, let's take a group of friends in a school, or let's take a group of friends at university. You see something on television or in the media or a BBM that's going around, and when you go to school the next day, all your friends got it, but you don't. Now, isn't there a pressure on that individual person to fit into that group and become part of the group and not become an outcast because they can't afford that particular item? And that will lead that child or that university student to possibly depression or even suicide, which I think one of the debating teams mentioned. So there is pressure on children to adapt and to become part of a select or a group of friends that they're part of. What's your response?
Yes, we've got a minute. Mala Yusuf, you were saying earlier on?
I was saying siblings in different parts of the same house, you'll find them to be very different people. Well, you know what, I must mention that I work near LMS, you know.
Mm.
And now because they're wearing the uniform, you know, it's like, you know, when you're looking at the LMS team, you're just thinking of weekdays and you're thinking of work and like, you know.
Yeah, you need a change of environment. So it's important to cater for diversity, and it's important to cater for diverse views. Even for parents, it's important. I mean, if the parents judge everybody on one child, like, look how clever he is, look how intelligent she is, and you're grading every other child after that, I think that's unfair. You have to understand that every person is different in their own nature, and so they will reach different conclusions. Are you ready? Okay, let's go.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. First of all, I beg to differ with the fact that when individuals see styles and fashion portrayed on television, that they feel the need to succumb to these fashions and be a part of it. Because in the society that we live in now, you won't see ordinary everyday people wearing these outlandish outfits. People, alhamdulillah, as our ulama have progressed, they continue bringing in what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us, and what examples he set of our dress. And social pressures, some Muslims are influenced by fashion because of their low self-esteem, and they have a desire to be popular, and they have no individuality. However, in today's society, our teenagers have started to find themselves, and they now want to be individuals, and they want to be seen as different from the rest of society.
Jazakumullah khairan, strong views coming from both sides. We're now going to take an ad break. When we return, we'll have the judge's final decision, inshallah.
Jazakallah, we'd like to thank all of our teachers that have helped us in the serious process.
Okay. And following up on that second position has been the guest school. That is the
Abdul Salam Islam.
Abdullah bin Salam.
Abdullah bin Salam.
I didn't need to change the name, man.
That is why I didn't want to say it, because I thought I would have definitely made a mistake.
Or just say EPSIC.
You have come up in second position in the debate.
MashaAllah.
Allah. Do you want us to carry on with the announcement of the overall winners?
Yes.
Do you want us to do that as well? The overall winner.
Ji.
The overall winner for today has been LMS, alhamdulillah, and followed by JMS. I don't know where the money is, and we don't know how it goes, but Mali Shoaib will do that. Jazakumullah khair. So LMS and JMS. Jazakumullah khair.
Jazakumullah khair. And for that, Mala Yusuf Umar will be doing the closing.
So that were your winners. Just quickly, what prizes they're getting? The learners of LMS, the three contestants I have in front of me, they will each receive 1,000 rand. The learners of Abdullah bin Salam Islamic Center. Yes, finally got it right. Each of them will receive 500 rand. They came out second. And then what Ismail mentioned regarding LMS and JMS, that's overall. As with all three competitions, spelling, debate and speech together, which school came out first, and JMS came out second according to the judges. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all our efforts. On a closing note, on behalf of Radio Islam, we would like to thank the judges. We would like to thank the schools as well, not just the whole school, but all schools really. You're coming here, really made it. It made it happen. And every day, it's not really about the prizes, it's about the experience. It's about the experience. That one learner that gave a speech today, whoever he or she might be, years later, he or she might be some executive manager speaking to a team of 50, 60 people. They will remember this day. That this is where it started. Public speaking, this is where it started. So it's not really about the prizes. It's about the experience. And it's about that learning, that stage of learning. So we thank the judges, we thank the school, and of course, we thank the community of Kelvin as well.
Jazakumullah khairan. Next up will be the para day, and we close off with that. We've got 30 seconds, LMS, to say whatever you want. 30 seconds. We are really behind time.
JazakAllah so much to Apa Sumaya Badas and Apa Zarina Frank for your unwavering support and guidance. We really appreciate it.
JazakAllah khairan. Over to Mala Suhaib. We'll intro the next para a day and then we can close off, inshallah.
So next up is Paradi, and this afternoon Paradi will be recited by Qari Zaid Manchu. So inshallah Qari Zaid will be reciting Paradi today.